I now must admit this isn't the first time I've preached this lesson before. In fact, the first time I preached it was for the same reasons I'm preaching it now. There was this big picture of the Bible presentation up there at Jordan Park that was going on, being taught by Ken Craig himself. And within that class, we were to learn how to present the big picture of the Bible to a prospective Christian. And since many of us, whether we're in Greg's current class or not, we're always trying to find better ways to present God's message of salvation. But in order to do that, I think we need to quit psyching ourselves out on a few things. And so within those lessons, we would learn what we need to do to not make it harder or more difficult than it needs to be. And in doing so, we were taught that we need to follow after the pattern of Christ. And so we'll be discussing just three ways tonight how we can stop making it harder than it needs to be. And what do I mean by it? When I say it, I mean spreading the gospel, presenting God's plan of salvation to someone. And if we're not going to make it harder, first thing we need to do is we need to remember who we are. Whether you've been online or you've been watching the news, which is, of course, two very dangerous things to do, you know that our nation is having an identity crisis. Nobody knows who they are anymore. And in response to that, people are scouring books, magazines, web pages, trying to find out who they are. And sadly, much of this problem has crept into the church over time, as I'm sure you well know. Thus, with the lack of standard, people have made it their business to make up their own standard of who they think they are, or they've allowed the media to make up their standard of who they think they are. And so our nation has just relentlessly pushed the agenda of personality and of self. So in the end, this is what has happened. Our society has helped us to over-glorify our personalities. You see, right now it's all about who I think I am. I mean, it's gotten to the point that we can't do anything or we won't do anything if we don't check in with our personalities first. So it's like, well, wait a minute. You want me to go talk to that person? Hold on. Let me go home. Check to see if it's okay with my personality. That's what's going on right now. That's what's happening. Nobody knows who they are. Everyone is following after whatever society says. And we think, man, but it's all about who I am. It's about who I'm trying to be. And so we over-glorify our personality. And so it's as if we've totally forgotten what kind of person that we need to be. Thanks be to God. Peter helps us with that. When in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is what we've been called to do, to proclaim his excellencies. And it's not that we go out here and we're proclaiming who I think I am, but it's his excellencies, you see. I need to remember who I am. We all need to remember who we are. We are a child of God. And so we have to be careful that when it comes to doing what God wants us to do, that we don't continuously find ourselves saying things like, "I'm an introvert, I'm an extrovert, I'm a this-avert, I'm a that-avert." Who cares-avert? Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, brethren. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Why? Because what's more important than who I am? What's more important than who you are? What's more important than who we're all who we all think we are? It's who we're trying to be. And who are we trying to be? Jesus Christ. You see, I'm seeking now to be like him and in his likeness, not myself or who society says that I am or who society says that I should be. Now, let me warn you, this does not mean that we're all going to end up doing the same thing. Usually when I say, "Oh, you shouldn't worry about your personality," there's somebody who'll say, "Well, wait a minute. You're just thinking we all need to be the same," but that's not the case. Just because we're concerned about the sake of Christ does not mean we're all going to end up being the same. Whether looking the same, acting the same, doing the same things. And there are a number of things that we can all do, each of us can do to help someone. And it doesn't necessarily mean always going to someone and speaking to them. I mean, it could be arranging the meeting. It could be talking to them. It could be following up with them. It could be sending them a note or a letter of encouragement. So when I say I need to set myself aside, that doesn't mean we're all going to be the same. But it does mean we're all going to be one in what we're doing. It does mean we're all going to be one in the sake of Christ. And let me tell you, if doing any one of those things, sending a letter, going to that person, visiting them, if doing any one of those things means that I need to set myself aside in order to do them, then so be it. Why? Because the sake of Christ is more important than who I am. Because it's what God wants me to do. And I need to remember who I'm trying to be. And here we have Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I've put myself to death. There is no reason to constantly try to figure out what is comfortable for me or what is not. It's about what we need to do for that person's sake, for Christ's sake, you see. And really, I wonder if any one of us would feel comfortable standing before God and trying to explain how we could have done more if only we didn't let ourselves get in the way. I don't think a single one of us would be comfortable doing that. And yet we cannot get out of our comfort zone to do what God wants us to do. So if we're not going to make it harder than it needs to be, if we're not going to make spreading the gospel harder than it needs to be, we need to remember who we're trying to be. And that's Jesus Christ. Second, we need to stop assuming so much. We assume way more than we should, I'm sure. Whether or not that was an assumption, that's up to you. But think about this. Whenever we're approaching someone new, or for the first time, what is the first thought we have? No, we sort of clench up and we're walking along. We see that person like, okay. Before we say anything, we get right up to them and we think, this isn't going to work out, right? We're like, this is not going to work out. I don't know. We start coming up with all of these things that we think, oh, this is an excuse for why I shouldn't talk to this person. Okay, I mean, look at the way they're dressed. Look at how they're acting. Look at this, look at that. But do we really know those things? How will we know unless we go to this person and find out? How will we know if somebody's going to be ready to accept the gospel unless we sit down with them and we talk with them? And so the problem is we may be letting our assumptions get in the way. And to be honest, I do this all the time. Okay, every time I see someone new, I'm thinking, okay, you know, what's one thing that might make this not work out? Look at their shoes, for crying out loud, okay? They're not wearing the right kind of shoes. It's not going to work out. Anything, you see. But we have to set those assumptions aside because they're not based on any knowledge, are they? Of course not. We need to go and find out. We need to put our assumptions aside. And to correct this issue, I think we need to understand that our assumptions are rooted in fear. Now, being afraid really isn't the issue. We tend to be afraid when we're approaching someone new or approaching a new project or something. And so we're afraid for good reasons. And though we would have no problem talking to strangers about our new diet plan, there is an associated fear in speaking to someone about God's plan of salvation. So that's understandable, right? Because we have no problem talking to strangers about anything and everything that we're trying to do. Oh yeah, I've done like 50 push-ups like yesterday. Right? That's like nothing. But when it comes to talking about God's plan of salvation, that's a little bit harder. Why? Because we're dealing with God's plan of salvation. That's a lot more important, isn't it? That carries a lot more weight with it. So indeed, that fear is there. It's necessary for us to have. But the problem is when we let that fear stop us. The problem is from that fear, we begin to sprout out all of these assumptions as to why it's not going to work out with that person. These assumptions are what halt us from being an effective, Christian. But let's look at a person who split up his kingdom due to his assumptions. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. I don't have it up here. I wanted you all to turn to it. 1 Kings chapter 12. Let's look starting in verse 3. And they sent and they called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. And so right after this, we understand that here, Rehoboam goes to two groups, right? He goes to the elders, and then he totally rejects what they have to say in regards to, you know, you need to calm it down, loosen up the yoke a little bit. He goes to his younger friends. He says, okay, I'm gonna follow what you say. Yeah, my father disciplined you with whips, but I'm gonna discipline you with scorpions, right? And so what else do we see here? Starting in verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people harshly and forsaking the counsel that the old man had given him. He spoke to them according to the counsel of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people. So what's happening here? Well, here we have a king who is under the assumption that he can, after 3 days, he can go before his people, say whatever he wants, and everything's going to be fine and dandy. In fact, they're all going to start following after him like it was nothing, right? And I guarantee you, if he actually had gone to the people and figured out what was going on, I mean, their actual state of being, probably things would have changed. Maybe his decision wouldn't have changed. But he would have known a lot more in regards of what he needed to do for his people. And brethren, let me tell you, that's the same thing for us. If we don't put our assumptions aside, all we're going to end up doing is keep splitting apart, more and more and more. We have to put our assumptions aside and go and find out whether or not people are ready to accept the gospel. Now that takes some courage, right? That takes some knowledge. We have to do it. But we don't need to make up all of these assumptions as to why. So the solution is that we no longer replace our faith with assumptions. It's not about how much I trust in my own intellect or in my own knowledge, but that I have faith in God, and that in some way our efforts can work out towards that person's good, you see. Or was it Paul? Was it not Paul? Quoting from Habakkuk when he says, the righteous shall live by assumptions. Isn't that what he says? The righteous shall live by assumptions, right? Oh, wait, no, that's not what he says, is it? What does he say? Romans 1, verse 17. The righteous shall live by faith. That's what he says. The righteous shall live by faith. I'm not living by myself, by what I think is right. I'm living by the power of God, by the faith in his power that these things can work out. So I have to set myself aside, and I have to do what is necessary for that person. And I mean, speaking of Paul, what if Barnabas never approached Paul? You ever think about that? What if Barnabas never approached Paul? You remember in Acts, after Christ had revealed himself to Paul, and after a while he goes to Jerusalem. You remember what happened there? Acts 9, verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. And so what's going on here? Nobody was going to speak to Paul. Everyone was afraid of him. Like, no way, is that Paul over there? I'm going over here, right? Nobody was going to say, okay, we need to find out whether or not what he's been saying is true. Why is that? Because they had all these assumptions that this guy is still evil, right? This guy is still bad. But here comes along our boy Barnabas, all right? Son of encouragement, and he ends up doing what is right. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So what did Barnabas do? Well, Barnabas set aside the assumptions, he set aside the fears, And he went and he found out whether or not the Lord had really visited Paul. He went and he found out whether or not his testimony was true. You know, there's a great song that we sing. Some of us don't like to sing it, but it's a great song anyway. How many apples in a seed? It's a song with a very powerful message. A message that tells us that we really don't know how far just planting one seed will go. So what are we doing? Why are we making it harder than it needs to be? We must put our assumptions aside and do what we can for that person. And let me tell you, this is what it's about. It's about encouraging one another not to quit because we're afraid, right? We don't need to give up so easily when we're faced with a new person or a new project at bringing somebody else in. We must put our faith into work. And I tell you, I understand it would be a lot more comfortable if we were to assume everyone into oblivion, right? Because then we wouldn't have to care about anything. But that wouldn't make us a child of God. That wouldn't make us at all concerned for the sake of others. But that's not it. Or was it Jesus speaking to his disciples? And before ascending into heaven, he says, assume yourselves into all the world. Isn't that what Jesus said? Assume yourselves into all the world. Oh, wait, no. That's not what he says. What does he say? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So if we're not going to make it harder than it needs to be, if we're not going to make spreading the gospel harder than it needs to be, we need to go. Setting aside our assumptions and trusting in the power of God. Because there's only one way we're going to know whether or not that person is ready. And that's if we go. And lastly, we simply need to be more like a child. Jesus says, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3. And I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I'll tell you it again. See, there was this, I was getting off the bus with this mother and her child there and her son. And we're getting ready to cross the street. I'm standing there, you know, he's all jittery. He's acting like a little child. You know, he's like 5 or 6 or something. And he just looks up at me out of nowhere and he says, hi. I'm like, well, hi. He says, do you want to come to my house and play? I'm like, well, I can't do that. And of course, if you remember, the mom starts freaking out like, are you kidding me? You can't just offer a stranger to come to our house and start playing with your toys. Okay. But I tell you, as soon as he said that, I rushed home to my grandmother. I said, let's look up this verse. Let's read this. And I tell you, this is exactly why Jesus wants us to be like little children. You know what was so great about that child? Is that he didn't have any blinders on. Now, let me tell you something. This child did not consider my age. This child did not consider my race. He did not consider how much money I had. He did not consider my social status, my social class. He did not consider my political views. He did not consider my religion. He did not even consider where I go to church. Why? Because he's a child. He doesn't care anything about those things. Why don't we do the same thing with the gospel? Why don't we do the same thing with the gospel? You see, the only thing that child was thinking was, hey, I've got something good at home. I enjoy them. I'm sure, I guarantee you're going to enjoy them too. So come on, let's go home. Let's go play with these toys. That was it. Why don't we do the same thing with the gospel? Hey, this is something that's good. This has brought so much truth and enlightenment to my life. I understand now God's plan of salvation and what I need to do. I've enjoyed it. And guess what? I'm sure you're going to enjoy it too. That's it. Why don't we do that? Why are we making it harder than it needs to be? You see, that child didn't think any one of those things, my age, my race, how much money I had, would hinder me from enjoying his toys. So why then do we spend so much time coming up with things we think will hinder someone else from accepting the gospel? I'll tell you, what if after asking me that question, I looked down at him and I said, I'm sorry. I can't come over and play with your toys. I just don't have enough money. Would that make any sense? What if I said, I'm sorry, child, I can't go and over to your house and play with your toys. Our voting patterns are different. You don't vote for the same people that I would vote for. I'm sorry, it's not going to work out. Or what if I look down at him and I said, look, I'm sorry, I can't go over there and play with your toys. I'm black. It's just not going to work out. That wouldn't make any sense, right? And of course, that child would be so confused, like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding me? So why are we making it so much harder? These are the things yet that we consider. It's going to stop somebody. It's going to stop us. And we need to get these things out of the way. There's only one thing that matters, and that's the state of their soul. That's it. Plain and simple. So what are we doing? Why are we making it harder than it needs to be? And so like the child, we need to remove the blinders from our eyes. For God is no respecter of persons, so we shouldn't be either. And we'll see people the way that God sees them, as we're meant to see them. Sheep without a shepherd. That's what these people are. And they're waiting for us. But are you willing and ready to go to them? Well, that's a question, of course, only you can answer. But we have to challenge ourselves upon these things. And we have to remember that if we're not going to make it harder than it needs to be, we got to remember who we're trying to be. And that's Jesus Christ. If we're not going to make it harder than it needs to be, we're going to stop assuming so much and letting those assumptions replace the faith that we ought to have in the power of God. And if we're not going to make it harder than it needs to be, spreading God's word, his message of salvation, we're going to become like a little child, going to people as freely as day, presenting to them the word which so we enjoy. And so, my brethren, I leave that up to you to see whether or not you're not going to make it harder than it needs to be. And let me tell you, if you're not a Christian tonight, there's a chance you're making that decision to come to Christ more difficult than it needs to be. In contrast to the King Rehoboam, we serve a king who promises nothing but the best for us. For our gracious King says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So don't make it any tougher. Don't make it any harder. Come forward having repented of your sins and confessing Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of the world, being baptized that you may now walk a new life in him.